Last time, we heard how, only a few days after their wedding, Toni learned her new role as bowman and cook on a freighting trip to Little Grand Rapids. The trip held other surprises, which she described in her memoirs. One day, as Toni was working around the canoe at a portage, she stepped on some rocks at the water's edge and slipped feet first into the river. She made no sound, and Rod did not notice. Quickly and quietly, she pressed as much water out of her clothing as she could, then continued with the day's efforts, allowing her clothes to dry in the heat of the day. Toni was unaware that Lothar and Fred both witnessed her accident and had found it highly amusing. Years later, Fred visited with Toni and Rod and talked about how funny he and Lothar thought the incident was and how they'd laughed so hard they could scarcely pull the canoe over the portage. Toni was incensed, even so many years after the event, and then recognized the wisdom of Rod's approach to her learning and adjustment time to the wilderness lifestyle. Had he laughed at her errors and accidents, she would not have found it so easy to learn from him. When canoeists travel upriver, they're climbing and sometimes encounter rapids or other areas where swift water or other obstacles necessitate portaging. The men had done this hundreds of times, but it was all new to Toni. At each portage, the canoes were completely unloaded, the goods loaded on the backs of the men and carried to the next spot where the canoes could be used. The construction of the freight canoes made them too heavy to be carried over portages. The canoes had wooden frames with a squared-off stern where an outboard motor could be mounted. Over this framework, heavy canvas was stretched to provide a waterproof shell. The freight canoe would carry 3 to 4 times as much cargo as a standard canoe. The portage route for the canoes resembled an early day's conveyor belt. A series of saplings or small logs had been laid across the path, allowing the freighters to manually tow the canoe from the landing site to the next launching site. It required endurance and a strong back, but then carrying the goods called for those abilities too. Backpacking the goods was no simple task. Rod explained to Toni how important it was that, once loaded, a man must remember all flexing movements must be taken from the waist down. The upper torso and back had to remain rigid to avoid injury to the carrier. Loads also had to be packed correctly, or they would rub, and soon a raw spot would be evident on a man's shoulders or back. Many freight loads contained boxes of butter, square wooden boxes, probably the worst possible shape for carrying over portages. They were too narrow for easy loading, had sharp corners that banged into the men's bodies. Toni's efforts at the portages were confined to helping Rod pack his load, then gathering up what small articles she could and carrying them to the next loading site. Once the canoes and goods were portaged, the canoes were reloaded and the trip continued. In her mind, she still heard her brother Carl's comments made after he'd gone on a freighting trip with Rod and Lothar. Carl was a bigger, heavier man than either of the Schutze brothers, and wanting to be sure to do his share, had insisted on carrying as large a load as either of the other two men. After they returned to Barron's River, and Carl was asked for his opinion of the work and lifestyle, he responded, "That was my first and last trip freighting. Life is too short to live like that." The entire trip was an adventure for Toni. It was like being in the movies. She learned many things and returned to the settlement and Gusti with a new insight into what her future life with Rod might contain. A copy of the tribute to Toni and Rod Schutze, entitled "We Shared Each Other's Gladness," is held in the Legislative Library at 200 Vaughan Street in Winnipeg. My thanks go to their daughter, Eileen Wojtowicz, for permission to quote from this work. I'm Judith Hudson Beattie, speaking to you from Winnipeg.